Revelation chapter number 20 this morning, please. Appreciate the good preaching from Brother Sutherland. Always a blessing to hear him. As far as I'm concerned, there's not a saved person in the house other than myself. I mean that I can only be sure of me. Nobody else. I have the personal assurance of my salvation. Amen. If you would stand in reverence to the reading of God's word, we'll begin reading in verse number 11 of chapter number 20 of Revelation. Put this somewhere over here. Well, there ain't nowhere. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Let's pray. Our Father that's in heaven, Lord, we come this morning humbly before you. Lord, I come broken before you. And Father, I know that, Lord God, that, Lord, it's hard to plow on a heart that's not been touched by the Spirit of God. I do pray that, Lord, you'd soften the heart, soften the ground, that the seed of the Word of God might fall in and bring forth fruit. Lord, for without you, without this Spirit of God working in the hearts of men, Lord, no work can be done. I pray you do it, illuminate my mind, and help me preach in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. As we began to look at this text here, I'll try to set it up for you a little bit. Now, I know the world says, and a lot of religious people say, that God is a God of love, and rightly so he is. That is his essence. That's who he is. The Bible says, for love is of God. But friend, we often, many times, leave out the part that God is also a God of anger and a God of wrath. For the Lord is a God of judgment, the Bible says. The Bible says the Lord is known by the judgment which he executeth. Amen. And if you remember over in 1 Samuel chapter number 25 and verse 38, that the Lord smote Nabal for his dealings with David. And then you remember Uzzah as he grabbed a hold of the ark as they were bringing the Ark of Covenant back into Jerusalem, and he smote him. Because he mishandled the ark. He put his hand upon the cart to keep the ark from falling off the cart. But the doctrine of judgment is not so simplistic if we take into all the scriptural data, if we bring it all into account. But I'm going to give you seven judgments, and one of them we'll expound upon a little bit. But the first judgment, friend, is the judgment of the cross, where our sins were judged. Amen. Where the devil was judged. And then the second judgment, this being the past, a past judgment. And then there's the present judgment. That's the judgment of the believing Christian or the believing saint. Least he judge himself, and God has to do the judging. Amen. And now the present or the future judgments. That's the third judgment, with the judgment of the believer's works. at the judgment seat of Christ. And then the fourth judgment is the judgment upon Israel. Is upon Israel, and it takes place after the tribulation period. Those that continue to reject their Messiah will not enter into the kingdom. That is the fourth judgment. The fifth judgment, that'll be the judgment of the nations after the tribulation period based on their receiving or rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ. Then we have the sixth judgment. This judgment will come upon the falling angels and Satan, as you find right above our text in verse number 10. But the seventh judgment, friend, is the judgment be the last and the final, and the Bible says the greatest judgment. And it is the judgment called the white throne judgment. It is the judgment where the wicked dead will stand before God or before the Lord Jesus. And friend, everything they've ever done, every sin they've ever committed, every idle word that they've ever spoken, friend, God will have a perfect record of everything they've ever done in this sinful life. Now let's first of all look at the fact of this judgment. I like facts, don't you? I don't like hearsay. I like facts. Give me facts. Well, first of all, the Bible says in Hebrews 9:27, and it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. So you have an appointment with death. Man, God has already recorded on the calendar of heaven the very date, the very way, the very fashion, the very time, the very means of mine and your death. I believe that. It's already been predestinated. It's set up already. Can I say, friend, let's look at verse number 11 of Revelation chapter number 20 as we look at the fact of this judgment. And the Bible says, and I saw. Now I want you to notice something there. John said that he saw. He did not say that he heard. He did not say that someone sent him a letter or a telegraph or somebody called him on a cell phone. But John says, I saw. He said, I had a vision from heaven. I was caught up into the third heavens, and God allowed me to see. And as I looked upon it, I examined it to be able to record it down into the Bible. This is something that John saw with his own ability to see. And the Bible says, John says that I saw a great white throne. Now, the significance of the white there is the purity and the brilliance around that throne. This is the largest and the greatest session of law that the world has ever known. There'll be billions and billions there standing before the Lord Jesus Christ as he sits upon that throne of judgment. It's the great courtside of heaven. Amen. And so as we see this white throne, the Bible says that earth and heavens had fled away. I mean, in the presence of the Creator, in the presence of the awesomeness of God, heaven and earth shrank out of existence and held up in the middle of space, in the middle of nowhere, by the omnipotent ability of God. Men stand in judgment of what they've done in this life, of their sins in this life. So we see, friend, that the Bible says they stand before God. He says the small and the great. Hey, the prince, the pauper, the wealthy, the poor man, the beggar. Hey, friend, the intellectual and the man that is full of ignorance. There is no, hey, friend, there's no deviation here from what kind of man stands or what kind of woman stands, but all men. Can I say church members will be there? Can I say those that have been baptized will be there? Can I say the drunkard will be there? Can I say some preachers will be there? Can I say, friend, there'll be some priests there? Probably a lot of them say amen. Can I say, friend, there'll be all kinds that stand before God at the white throne judgment. And the Bible goes on to say, and they began to look what it says here in verse number 12. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. They were laid open to bear what was inside of the books. And then it says this, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books. Now the book is the book of life where the saved name has been written, amen, or the Lamb's book of life. Let's say that. I believe there's two different books, don't you, preacher? There's a book of life, and then there's a Lamb's book of life. But see, friend, when I receive Christ, when you receive Christ, your name is written in the Lamb's book of life. So here we have the books, but let's move on to the jury. We see the fact of the throne. Now let's move on, if you would, to the jury of the throne. I see, just by going through the Word of God, there's about five set of books that I've found that'll be used to judge those that reject Christ or that never received Christ as their Savior. First of all, can I say in Romans chapter number 2, the Bible mentions the conscience. There's the book of conscience. And when man did not have the written book, did not have the law, God gave him a moral law written upon his conscience. Can I say that every time you have violated your conscience, every time you have overrode your conscience, every time you sinned against God and you overrode your conscience, as your conscience tried to direct you, as your conscience tried to warn you, there's a record in heaven. Every time you committed adultery against your conscience, every time you stole something against your conscience, every time you told a lie against your conscience, every time you committed an act of sodomy against your conscience, every time you, every time you cursed your mother and father against your conscience, every time you cussed the God of heaven against your conscience, that is the sin, friend. That is the sin that is recorded in the books, friend. Every time. Hey, then my beloved, there's the book of words. But I say unto you that every word, every idle word that man shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. Hey, friend, every time you've just said an idle word that meant absolutely nothing. Hey, friend, whether it been a word of gossip, whether it been a word of contention, whether it been a word of strife, every time you've said a word, it's recorded in heaven. And I believe it goes something like this. I believe when man is standing in the presence of that great white throne judgment, let's see, and the God of heaven, his son Jesus is sitting on that throne, I believe he'll call out and say, with the angel of the book of conscience, come forth. Would he bring the book of conscience? And they go down and they call out your name and they begin to look at what the book has to say about you. Would you show us the book? Would you show us the record? Would you give us the record of Jane Doe? Would you give us the record of Johnny Doe? As they call out your name, that perfect record that's been reserved in the archives of heaven. Hey, friend, I don't know if they'll play it up on a big out in the middle of the open of nowhere. I don't know if they'll read it out loud. I don't know exactly how to be done. But guess what? There won't be one thing that'll be forgotten. Everything, things that you no longer remember, things that you can no longer bring back to thought will be recorded in the books. Then there's the book of secrets. Hey, the Bible says, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of man by Jesus Christ, according to my gospel, according to the word of God. Hey, the secrets are the secrets that you have that you think nobody knows about, that mom and daddy don't know about, that the preacher don't know about, that my neighbor don't know about, that my husband don't know about, that my wife doesn't know about, that my brother doesn't know about, that my sister doesn't know about. You know that secret? That secret that plagues your mind and your heart late at night when you're the only one around, when you rest your head on the pillow, when once in a while there may come a calmness about you and all of a sudden that secret comes up, that thing that so perplexes you, that thing that so condemns you. Guess what? It's recorded. It's recorded in heaven. And then there's the book of public works. Whose end shall be according to their works. Hey, the role you've taken on, the person you claim to be. Hey, Sunday school teacher that may not be saved. Hey, choir singer or choir member that may not be saved. Hey, friend, did you know the role that you've taken on, that live hypocrisy that you've lived? Hey, friend, did you know it'll be shown forth, it'll be given out when the books are open. And then, friend, there's the book of life. Moses said, he told them, he said, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book. David asked that his oppressors be blotted out. Just blot them out from the book of life, he said. Friend, heaven is a perfect record keeper. So there's the fact of the throne. There's the jury of the throne. And there's the judged of the throne. Who'll be judged at the throne? The Bible says that the wicked shall be turned into hell and all nations that forget God. And the Bible says in verse 13 that death and hell delivered up to the judgment, to the white throne judgment. Those that had died have been cast into hell. Said, a matter of fact, it said that the bodies and the souls will be reunited, that they'll stand before God. Hey, those that died at sea that no one has ever found, guess what? They'll not be absent. Those that disappeared that no one has ever found, they'll not be absent. If they've rejected the Lord Jesus Christ, they shall be at the white throne judgment. Hey, friend, the judgment at this throne. Can I say, beloved, that it is an eternal judgment. It's an eternal judgment. Can I also say, friend, that the judge of this throne is Christ himself. It's not your peers. It's not even your enemies. It's not your friends. They're not capable of the right kind of judgment. But friend, the Bible says that the Father hath committed all judgment unto the Son. The Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, will be the judge. Can I say this, friend? That the books are intended to reveal the seriousness of your crimes. The books are going to be used to distinguish the degree of your punishment. You say, wait a minute, preacher. You mean there's a degree of punishment? Well, if you'd look over at Luke and look at the two servants where one received this punishment, one received that punishment. I believe that a man that has truly heard the gospel, that friend, will receive a more severe punishment than a man that has never had the opportunity to hear the preaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? So we see, friend, and you say, preacher, well, what about the seriousness of this judgment? Well, the unsaved that died in the seas whose bodies haven't been recovered will not be exempt from the tribunal. Matter of fact, nowhere in the Bible did I see anyone being extinct or being relieved from this tribunal that has not received the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, preacher, what about purgatory? That's a lie to hell. There's no such thing as purgatory, friend. When your body gives up the ghost here, you either go to heaven and reside in heaven with the Lord Jesus, or you die and go to hell and await your second death at the white throne judgment. Amen. And can I say, friend, the Bible says that here when they're judged, they'll be cast into the lake of fire. They'll be conscious, unceasing torment, day in and day out forevermore. Now, conscious. There's a key word there, that conscious. You need to understand that. You know, it'd be one thing to die and go to hell and maybe after a year or two or a space of time you burn up and it was over with. That wouldn't be too awful bad, would it? But the Bible says that it is a torment that lasts forever and forever and forever and forever and forever. And not only does it last forever, but the individuals or the souls that will go there are completely conscious of the torment. They have all their faculties. You say, what do you mean? They'll remember the message today. They'll remember Brother Sutherland preaching this morning. They'll remember the young lady singing about how precious Jesus is. Hey, they'll remember, they'll hear, they'll smell, they'll taste. They'll remember the loved ones that gone on before them that are saved and went to glory. Every faculty that you have here, you will have there. You'll have another body that will not burn up, but throughout eternity, we'll suffer in unceasing torment in the lake of fire. Now, torment, what does that mean? How many have you ever put a bucket or a bowl or a pot of water on the stove and it began to boil? I mean, a rapid boil where the water's just rolling and rolling and rolling, and you drop an egg into it. And that egg, to start with, would be on the top, and then it would come up, and then the rolling of that water would bring it back down again, and it'd bring it up, and it'd bring it back down. That's the type of torment they're talking about. Hey, friend, to be cast into the lake of fire, to be brought down and over and over and over and over, up and down, unceasing torment day and night. That's what they're talking about. Can I say, beloved, that we see the judge of the throne. We see the fact of the throne. Can I say, friend, that we see the jury of the throne. And we've talked about the judgment of the throne. And so many folks have preached a different message of salvation that is incorrect. Salvation is not baptism. Salvation is not because mom and daddy's a member of a good church. Salvation is not having your name on the roll of a church. It's not a sprinkling at childhood. Friends, salvation is when God begins to deal with a man's heart and godly sorrow worketh repentance. Hey, repentance, friend, comes only first by godly sorrow. Now you say, preacher, what is the difference in godly sorrow and just being sorry? A lot of folks are sorry that they got caught. A lot of folks are sorry that they've offended someone, and that's good. But godly sorrow, the sorrow that works in a man's heart, that brings him to the place of repentance, is a sorry that he is sorry that he has offended a holy, loving God. A God that loved you so much, that friend, that robbed heaven and sent down his son that he might die a death for you and me. Godly sorrow worketh repentance. Ain't gonna say the Bible says in John 6:44 that no man can come unto me except by the Father which sent me draw him. God must initiate salvation. God will come to you and deal with your heart and prick your heart and break open your heart, and the Holy Spirit of God will reprove you of your sin. He'll show you the righteousness of God, and then he'll show you the judgment to come, to help you make the right decision, and that decision being to follow or have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I say this in closing. There was a judge by the name of, he was an attorney actually to start with, by the name of Warren Candler. And he was a saved judge, a saved attorney. And Brother Candler, early in his practice, was a criminal lawyer within the town that he lived and grew up. And a young man and his parents came to him one day, and they were seeking his counsel or his help, for the young man had been charged with the crime of murder. And so there were some extenuating circumstances, and Attorney Candler represented him. They went to court, and of course the mama and the daddy showed up in the courtroom, and they were there with a broken heart, and of course, it played on the sympathy of the jury. And when it came to give the verdict, they asked the young man to stand up. The judge announced the verdict that he had been found innocent. Brother Candler, Attorney Candler, calls him back to the conference room at the courthouse, and he sets him down and he says, son, he said, you got off this time. He said, but I want to give you a firm warning to stay away from the places that you've been frequenting. Change your life and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And they parted ways. About 20 years later, this young man, now middle-aged man, finds himself in the same situation 20 years later. He goes to court. The evidence weighed heavily against him. And they asked him to stand so they could read the verdict. The jury announces the verdict and said, we find you guilty for the charge of murder. Now Judge Candler says, son, remain standing that I may give you your sentence. He said, 20 years ago, I was your advocate. I was your attorney. I represented you. You went free. Today, I'm your judge. You've been found guilty in a court of law. And it's my duty and my responsibility to give the sentence unto you that you are to be hanged until dead. May God rest your soul. That same Jesus that Brother Sutherland preached about this morning. That same Jesus who, friend, who pleads for your soul, who died on Calvary and shed his blood, and friend, who longs for you to be saved this morning, will one day be your judge for all of you that reject the Lord Jesus Christ.